to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall and its articles of news for the week of the 16th of November. It's me, Richie T. It's Molly. Jenny doesn't have anything going on. And it's brother Kyle.
I have nothing. I have plenty going on.
Yeah, you know.
I'll give you some of my goings on.
Yeah.
I got stuff.
Borrow some of Kyle's light. Go ahead, Kyle. What's new?
You're jumping right on it.
Yeah.
I just got back from Southern California.
I saw your beach pictures as I was shivering, hanging out over at my dad's house. I was like, hey, you know what? The beach sure sounds a lot better than this.
I'll tell you what it was, but it was only one day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, one day at the beach is better than no day at the beach.
One day with my son at the beach is fantastic because you know what? Nobody there cares. They don't care if you're Mormon. They don't care if you're homosexual. They don't care what you are. They just want to go surfing.
Yeah?
You sit out in the water with a bunch of dudes. Half of them are probably unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the half that I'm in.
Yeah.
And the other half are really rich.
Okay.
And you just wait for a set of waves, and it's fantastic.
How was it?
It was beautiful. It
nice
was
temperature
great.
And everything?
Oh, my gosh. So
Did you
good.
Just road trip it?
Yeah. Yeah, just drove down real quick one day, stayed one day, and then drove back the next day.
Oh, my gosh. That is a whirlwind.
Had to pick trip. Up, had to drop off a car and pick up a car. And I told my son, I said, if you want to go with me, we'll stay an extra day. We'll do the beach. And so he was
like, yeah, Dad, I do.
Yeah.
Because I'm still young enough that I like you.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And that's why I'm taking advantage of it while I can. Pictures, memories for a couple of years from now when I don't see him and he hates me.
Yeah. You don't understand, Dad. And my friends are way cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know what? That's part of my news coming up.
Oh, really?
Me and my kid. Cool story. Anyway. I'm
good.
Just
I'm glad there's a cool story coming up.
What beach?
And we were in Huntington Beach, which I really had never really hung out at before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually down in San Diego, but I thought I'd go there because I heard the surfing's better, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, the waves are way better. So not.
I didn't know. I don't think I knew you surfed.
I do anything that is on a board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you skate.
I skateboard.
Do you snowboard?
I snowboard.
Okay.
I've got a few of those. I surf. I rent the surfboard because how am I going to get one down there usually?
Yeah. You can't put it on top of your bike.
No.
You have to hang on one arm with your kid on one side, hold on to a surfboard. That's a pain.
Womp.
That's cool. Good for you.
Yeah. So had a good
Did
weekend.
You stay at a hostel?
And no. We stayed in a room.
With other people, didn't you?
250 square feet of a room. It was narrow, very narrow, but it was fine because we weren't there that long.
Yeah.
In the room.
That's what's great about vacation places. Like, some people will spend a lot of money on where they stay overnight on vacations. I don't like to. Because I feel like
either.
If I'm staying there very long, that it's a huge waste of vacation.
Yeah. As long as I'm right by the beach, which I was. I was across the street.
Mm.
So, you know, a 60-second walk, then I'm fine.
Nice. Well, good. Anything else?
No, that was my and trying to calm down the angry sides because I have friends that are both sides of every issue and for some reason they're both very.
We're talking about the gay stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am since I haven't talked about it, but everybody's mad at everybody and I'm just like, let's just go surfing, man.
Yeah.
Bro, let's just go surf,
dude. Bro,
chill.
Nice. Have a scotcheroo, right?
Exactly.
Which brings us to Jenny.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, are you going to be that Molly Jenny today?
No, it's great. I didn't go to Huntington Beach. I didn't go to Chicago. I went to Midway.
Yeah?
I did.
You didn't go all the way?
Mm-mm. I went
me all the way.
I
Come
did.
On that.
I went all the way in
to Midway.
Just mid.
To so, in. Nope. What?
Nope. I don't know. What Midway is up by Heber, which is kind of by Park City for people who don't understand.
It's down the hill from Park City.
So what were you doing there?
I was at the homestead. I went swimming in a crater. I ran around.
Oh, staycation.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I did. Yeah.
So, can we talk about how you got that? Because I thought that was
sure.
kind of cool. So people like you, and they're just like, come check this out.
Yeah. I was asked to be a brand ambassador for the homestead resort for a year.
I'd like to be a brand ambassador for money. like the U.S. government, here, be a brand ambassador for the usefulness of money.
Try this out and let us know what you think of
it. Oh, I like this money. This has benefits. Mm-hmm. So you get to go up there a bunch of times, or what's the deal?
I get to stay there four times over a period of a year. I can choose when. The ideal is that I will stay there once per season.
Sure. So what season did you count this as? Is this fall or is this winter?
Well, I don't actually think that this one counted because this was the retreat.
Okay.
It was a Friday night with an option to stay Saturday, which...
And did you option?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
There were six ambassadors total there.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so,
all women? Men
yes.
and women?
It was in my eye. Women.
All women.
All women,
that's
yeah.
bizarre to me.
Did you have to stay in the same room?
I did.
All six of you?
No.
Oh.
I thought you meant both nights.
No, yeah. No, I thought
no.
you...
No, in fact...
She just moves across the hallway. I'm not in that room anymore.
Well, so, interesting you say that. Have you been to the homestead before?
I have.
Okay, yeah, across the hall. They're all like houses and cottages and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. This was my first time there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've lived here for, 19 years.
Let's get back to this all women thing.
Okay, yeah, because... Because
men have different perspectives on things, and if they want brand ambassadors, I think...
You want to be a brand ambassador.
I think I should be a brand ambassador representing men.
Okay, let me pray about it.
A man-bassador.
See what I can do.
Can I be a man-bassador?
I guess.
Go ahead.
They asked local bloggers...
Cool.
To do it. And
so you swim in the crater.
Right.
Go horseback riding.
No,
I
will.
Play pool.
In the pool hall?
Yeah. There's a pool hall.
Is
Did you not see it?
No.
There's a place to play pool. One of the first places I ever played pool was up at the homestead.
So is your old man.
Oh.
Oh, boom. Okay. Well.
I like that.
Listen. Anyway, yeah. I think this was the retreat. We all met for dinner. It was.
Do you like him?
I'm sorry?
The other bloggers?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're brand ambassadors?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like them because you have to like them, or do you like them genuinely?
I like them genuinely. In fact, one of the women there, we can't handle being professionals. When we get together, we just sit down and talk and laugh and do not pay attention to anything being said. That's just been consistent over the past 4 or 5 years.
You giggle about boys.
You hear that, Homestead? You have a brand ambassador that can't pay attention and be professional. Just throwing that out there. Man-bassador.
Oh, they love me there, though. But I think I was the only one who stayed both nights that weekend. Mm-hmm. And everyone else brought someone. Mm-hmm. Brought just...
Sorry, what? So you were alone all weekend.
This is making me laugh.
Okay.
No, because this is what I'm excited about.
Three sad, lonely people making fun of each other.
Womp womp.
Because you get four times a year.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Cultural Hall retreat at the homestead next
hey.
Time.
Hey!
Winter time. Uh-huh. They've got the, what do you call it?
The sleigh ride?
The sleigh ride, the horse-drawn carriage.
Correct.
The sledding?
Sledding
the,
thing?
Yeah, the
sled
hill.
Hill?
I mean, yeah, I kind of stayed there and was like, tell me more about this. In fact, the crater thing wasn't even included. I was just like, so tell me about the crater.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, well, we can arrange that. I'm like, yeah.
Crater is cool, too. It's like 98 degree.
It was 96. It's never lower than 90 degrees natural hot spring, walk through this tunnel.
Yeah, super weird tunnel. It's
yeah.
like, hey, let's go ahead and swim here then.
Mm-hmm. Scuba diving training, kind of world-class scuba diving lessons there.
Did you do that? Tell me about this scuba diving.
I haven't yet.
Tell me about this dinner you might serve me. Tell me about this dessert.
Correct.
That's cool.
So, I saw all the other ambassadors there that Friday night when we kind of had the get-to-know-you dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But then... Like, I saw one of the women Saturday morning for breakfast before she headed home, but then, like, Saturday afternoon and evening and Sunday, like, I just had time to myself and just
good for you.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
Nice.
So that was good. And,
You just said you didn't have anything. Said, I did nothing. I don't have anything. I don't know what I'm going to say.
Old nothing going on.
Look at this.
I know.
And then I remembered the week before.
Because
it's been a couple of weeks since I've
been here with us.
Yeah.
Let me know, people. Contact@theculturalhall.com is the email address. If you like it now, where we just have a couple people Mm-hmm. We've kind of tamed it out a little bit, scheduled it out,
right,
if you will,
sign
so
up
that
for time
we
slots.
Have signups and we know when people are going to be here and it's not a zillion people, etc. So
one thing kind of similar to what Kyle mentioned, I've got people who are concerned I'm leaving the church.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I'll be honest with you, as one of your really good friends, uh-huh. sometimes you speak as though you're going to leave the church.
Hmm.
Or the tonality of what you say makes me go, is she doing all right?
Really? Interesting.
Never with me.
What?
Never with me and Jenny. I've never felt that.
I know that you won't, but based on what you say, mm-hmm. like I feel like I can listen to this, we can talk.
Sure.
And I can go, I know how this will be perceived mm-hmm. to people that are listening.
Right.
So I understand that. I understand that aspect
right,
of it.
Right, like people who maybe don't know me and yeah, are like, what is this? Which is interesting. I mean, because Kyle and I have talked about this, about
well,
a lot
yeah,
of different aspects.
Well, yeah, you guys are dating.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I mean like people who are like super close with me, who know better. Like really close.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like concerned. Like,
how close?
None of your business.
Whoa.
A family member. Hmm. A family member has been like concerned.
You tell your brother that he's a great guy yep. and that he can be concerned about you, and that's what he's supposed to do.
Ding. Right. And yeah. he is. And he does it out of love, but there's a part of me that gets really frustrated with it. Like, hey, like, you know me. I'm here.
Yeah,
let's look at my whole life. My whole life.
Right.
Maybe starting with the fact that I went back to church by myself.
Sure.
Starting when I was 12.
Yeah.
Without my family. After we went inactive after I was baptized when I was 8. This isn't going to make me leave.
Yeah, but you also never know because there's the...
Sure.
Because it's like, so-and-so is not a cheater. There's no way that person could ever be a cheater. And then it turns out that person is a cheater. And
cheers.
You go, yeah, you know what? That's a cheater. Or that person would never leave the church.
Sure,
they've had too many experiences within the church. And then guess what? Those people leave the church as well.
Right. And for a lot of people, this has been the last straw. And yep. they're out.
So we're just saying never say never.
Yeah, you can't ever, right. you can't yeah. ever
oh,
say
people,
never.
People can always change.
Yeah.
For sure. So while I appreciate it, I also just kind of think, you know, excuse me, I posted a link to the event this coming Wednesday, which we'll talk about. Maybe. If
you bring it up, we will.
Okay. And someone said, have you watched this? And sent me like the link to the video with Elder Christofferson. And I didn't say anything, but what I wanted to say was, duh. I'm a part of the cultural hall. I was online. Like, this is what I do. I watched it like minutes after it was released. Of course I've seen it.
Yeah. Because if you had, it would have assuaged any sort of...
Right.
I guess is the theory.
Probably.
Thinking.
Which, you know, and good for, honestly, good for friends who are bold enough to ask directly, I suppose. Because yeah. I know that they do it out of love.
Yeah, it's a good close enough friend. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about Wednesday night, so before we let it go too long.
Okay. What do you want me to say?
You can go to thinkutah.org if you want to find out more about this event, but it's a thing through my day job. It's going to be an hour-long program discussion about various aspects of the new church policy change, addition, clarification.
And you weren't available.
Yeah, I've got shows at the theater, so I passed it along to Molly Jenny, and she's going to be sitting in on the panel. So the Cultural Hall will, in part, sponsor the event. It's at 50 West. Broadway in downtown Salt Lake. So if you're here in the state of Utah, I encourage you to come down. Some of the people on the panel are John DeLynn, who Mormon Stories, and he was the one who put the information out about the policy change. Lindsay Hansen Park, or is it Park Hansen? I always get it confused.
I always say Hansen Park, but I heard Bill this morning say Park Hansen, so I'll look that up now.
So I'm not positive, but Lindsay from Sunstone will be one of them as well. Kendall Wilcox, who has right. been here in the Cultural Hall before talking about the movie Far Between and Mormons Building Bridges. He'll be a guest as well, and various other people.
And this guy.
And Molly Jenny.
Now, is this something that will it be recorded or
it's going to be
broadcast?
Video recorded, and it will also be shared If you subscribe to the Cultural Hall on iTunes or Stitcher, it'll be an episode that will show up, so you'll be able to get it.
I knew this. I just wanted other people to know.
Yeah. You're just leading the discussion. Yes. That's all.
So if anyone would care to join us that evening and sit there and give me thumbs up.
Yeah. Or share your input. There are times for audience questions as well. It is only an hour long, though. I suspect that this will go longer. And in addition to that, it's free to attend.
Right.
You can come down and have food, or if you're a lifer or convert that enjoys adult beverages, those will be served as well as part of the evening. But it is just an opportunity to discuss all aspects of it.
Yeah. And yeah, I believe doors open at 6?
I want to say 6, with the event starting at 7 o'clock.
Right. Yeah. And food available for purchase, and come on and have a great old time.
I think it'll be
Are you nervous a little bit? You seem, the way you talk, slightly, but I'm excited for you. I think this is pretty cool.
Kyle's been maybe my biggest cheerleader on this to help me not be nervous.
J-E-N-N-Y, Jenny.
Right.
Are you going?
No.
Oh, so not the biggest cheerleader.
No, I don't know yet, actually. Wednesday is a kid thing, so I'll see.
Yeah, bring the kid.
Oh, he'd love it.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it'll be good. I hope that it is positive on both sides, because I know with some people that it can certainly become something that you'll quickly be like, why am I here? I hope it's not that.
Right. And I think, and that's been the most helpful of all the support that I've gotten, which is that I'm an expert on what I think.
Right. No one can tell you what you think.
Yeah. And what I think is just fine.
Yep.
So
that's going on. ThinkUtah.org. And we'll put a link, maybe an invitation thing, up on the Cultural Hall Facebook page and share it out on Twitter.
Of course we will. What about you, Richard?
So here's the deal. My kid, right, is part of this group called Music Garage. It's like your School of Rock. It's like your kids get together. They're kids from all over the Salt Lake Valley, and they get together, and he's with this one called Music Garage. They form them into bands, and then the bands essentially work stuff out as far as bands go, right? They write their own music. They learn cover songs as well, and then they perform. In the summertime, he was performing literally like every weekend, but it was a lot of the same cover songs. So Oingo Boingo and some Red Hot Chili Peppers and Tool and stuff like that. They had one song that they have written that is called Psychosis. Sort of prog rock, if you know what that is. But, you know, it's a little heavier. He likes the really loud stuff. I think he'd play the really, really heavy metal if he found anyone else who wanted to play that. But he's in a band called Eminon, which I didn't know at first because I'm a dummy, is no name spelled backwards. They had their show on this last Saturday night. So my kid, when my wife and I first got married, he went to guitar lessons like in the basement of this little crummy shop in Springville, right? Really loved his teacher. And when we moved to Salt Lake, he was like, I don't know that I'm going to love it. And we found a different organization that was similar to this that he went to. And, you know, he's a little bit shy, but he really liked his teacher that did the guitar lessons for him. But since he's moved over to this new place and been in a band, he's gone from the shy kid, you know, who like wouldn't look out to anybody playing or anything like that, you know, just kind of stare down, and he'd get super frustrated with himself if he messed up, and like, every kid thing, I want to quit, I hate this, I don't want to do this anymore, that kind of stuff. And when I saw him on Saturday night, this is proud dad, but I think it's proud anything, like he owned it. I've got some pictures, and maybe I'll get one over to Anna so she can put it up on our Instagram. But he owned it full on. Like at one point, they hadn't planned it out. He jumped up on the subwoofer and got the other guy in the band, and they just kind of like, you know, shredded face off. And I was just like, this is awesome.
Rock
this is
and
like
roll.
Ability and willingness as a performer has increased.
Well, and his self-confidence.
Brilliant. Awesome.
You know, and it's just so funny because there have been times where we're like, I don't know, should we still have him be in this? Because it does cost a little bit of money, and it's, you know, there have been times even along the road where he's been like, ah, you know, I don't know that I want to do this anymore. But he just, it's cool. And I guess the bigger lesson than just bragging about my kid is it's cool because he picked something that he was able to establish self-confidence in. And now it's just like, yeah, that's awesome. And it was more, too, because I see a lot of music being played because of my day job. Like, it was more, too, because it was like, okay, I'm enjoying this not because I'm his dad. I'm enjoying it because it's enjoyable.
Like, objectively.
Yeah, like.
Like one of those things, like, you, when your friends have projects or you go to their show and you're like, oh, I really hope that this is good. And then
what'd you think
you're
of the
like,
show?
Oh, my gosh, legit, yeah. Good job.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly.
That's
it's exactly
great.
The same thing. So props to him. And that's pretty much anything that, as far as I go, that is really going on. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that might be exciting to talk about. I went to a family party yesterday and I drove my dad. And this is just brief. I don't know when my dad became 100 years older than he used to be, but he, in the last like 2 years, like he sits like an old person and he has struggles with electronics like an old person. Everything that is, you know, your stereotypical Hollywood, now he's old. I don't know where I missed it. He's not that old. He's still younger 60s.
How do you roll these windows up and down?
What's
power
this
windows,
button?
Dad.
Yeah. What?
It takes me a while to text, but the kids, and every time I talk to him about it, because he recently was called into a young single adult bishopric, kids don't answer their phones. They only text. So I have to learn to text. I'm like, yeah, Dad. Except he tells me that every time I see him. You know, because kids, they don't talk. They just text every time. So now there's starting to be an element of that as well.
And young single adults. So kids are 18 to 31.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But he really likes it. It's fun. It's fun to pal around with him.
That's great.
I like that. Let's do an email because an email has a topic that I want to bring up. And then we'll take a break and do actual articles of news. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
This one from Paul White. He's Catholic, he's black, and he's a lifer with Pioneer Stock. Why do I say any of that? I don't know. Because we brought him up before, and that's how I introduced him.
Whoa. He's listening to this show, and he's Catholic?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He just sings Ex Animo, right?
You what?
Is he the one who signed his last email Ex Animo? It's
I think
like
so.
Latin?
Yeah.
For, okay.
Maybe?
Okay.
I think so. I actually don't know. He says, hello, all.
That's all of us.
Says, I'm writing you to ask a question from a religious perspective. You all are active in your respective faiths. I want to know about the term same-sex attraction. I've heard people within your faith traditions use the same-sex attraction term, and just curious as to what makes it different from homosexuality. Is it behavior versus intention or desire? Of course, I'm not thinking you are speaking for all members of the church, but as I said, I'm just curious as I have seen an increase in its use over the past 5 to 10 years as a substitute for homosexuality. Thanks, and communicate with you later, Paul. So, is there a difference when you use it? Do you say same-sex attraction different than homosexuality?
I thought it was just maybe a political or polite way of saying it. I don't know, politically correct. I just thought it was the same thing.
Okay.
I think of it as a phrase that church leaders are more comfortable using, probably for the same reasons of it being more politically correct. Or I view it as something that, you know, this is again from the perspective of the church leaders saying, this is a struggle. The struggle is same-sex attraction, not the struggle is being a homosexual or being gay. I don't think I've ever used that phrase myself.
What, being gay?
No.
Same-sex attraction?
Same-sex attraction.
Okay.
I feel like it's something more used along the lines of, like, in church leadership.
Yeah, I feel like it is that sort of more tactical, more politically correct way of doing it. But I think that for some people, if I can speculate, I think that there is that distinction. The SSA is, I love, insert same gender here, but I don't act upon it.
Yeah, have not acted upon it.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's the struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am SSA. I'm not a homosexual because I haven't done it. I think that would maybe be where someone would draw the distinction.
Hmm. Yeah. SSA, soprano, soprano, alto.
Yeah.
That's what I would right. think if I saw that written down.
Like, soprano, soprano, alto. That doesn't make any sense.
Three-part song.
Hire a bunch
okay,
of those
great.
People over at City Creek.
Boom.
We'll get into that also in Articles of News. So there you go, Paul. I'm not sure if that was the answer to the question that you had, but that's how I would distinguish it, I think. People would consider themselves SSA if they want to make a distinction saying, sure, I'm attracted to people, but I haven't done anything about it. Cool. Coming back in the second half with actual Articles of News.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Windows 10 is out. You might even see a notification on your computer to get a free upgrade. Hold on a second. Remember when millions of people upgraded from older versions of Windows and had massive pain losing precious data or simply weren't able to run the current versions of software they already own? Don't risk it. If you've installed the upgrade already or simply need help, be safe and bring your desktop or a laptop PC, no matter what brand it is, into any PC Laptops location for a 100% free evaluation. So you have nothing to lose. Why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. Please visit us at any one of our 8 locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, we really love you.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Coming back in 3, 2, 1. It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. And I think we've mentioned it, but in case we haven't, let's take a second and mention your new calling, Jenny. I swear we talked about it.
Oh, well, maybe.
We'll do it briefly. You're doing
For the Provo City Center Temple, there's a cultural celebration that occurs with new temple openings. And so there's the temple celebration coordinator, and then each stake and ward has two callings to assist with the celebration. The hope is that every youth within the temple district will participate. That's about 5,500 youth for the performance in March. And each stake and ward has a temple cultural celebration coordinator and a temple cultural celebration youth dance specialist. So I am my ward's youth dance specialist.
Yes!
Right?
I didn't think they allowed dancing in Utah County, but that's cool.
Well, they do now that they had that big barn dance and
ever since Kevin Bacon
changed
the way that people thought.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ever since he danced around that Volkswagen.
Hey, I had to do what I had to do.
Congratulations. When is that, by the way? Do you know?
Yeah, it's Saturday, March 19th.
Is the actual celebration. When does the hordes of people going to the Provo Temple Nacle start,
Mid-February.
Mid-February. Okay,
so
cool.
I'll get that all set up for us.
We'll have a cultural hall trip where we all go and meet up and dress in your Sunday best, and then we'll get something to eat afterwards that you have to pay for yourself because we're not doing it. No? Too soon? Okay.
Too soon for what?
I don't know. Let's
for
do some
every date you've ever been on?
I've never been on a date.
What? How you've did you get married?
Right?
What was it? 60 Second Bride?
Oh, 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes,
do you
we'll
have
to talk about
on
it.
That?
Yep, I watched
it. Oh, my gosh. I watched it today as well. Hang on, I got another email. This is in regards exactly to what we're talking about.
Oh, good.
I have a correction to the list as it was read. This is the list of references in TV sitcoms and movies. Molly Jenny, and she recommends the name Jolly.
Nope.
You don't want that one?
No, thank you.
How about many?
Absolutely no.
Okay.
But thank you.
You read half the list with Mormon references in TV shows and movies. You read one of your favorites, one of her favorites, which is Golden Girls. She also mentioned a personal favorite of mine, but it was incorrect, and she didn't mention what it was. The reference is from the movie Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. The correction is that it is Star Trek IV. She said seven. I don't know if the copy she was reading from was wrong or if she misunderstood the Roman numeral, but whatever. Who cares?
Who's this?
This is Michelle Stevens-Williams.
It was Lindsay who read the list. I mentioned Cheers in South Park, but thank you.
The reference was from Kirk regarding Spock. Back in the 60s, he was part of the free speech movement at Berkeley. I think he did a little too much LDS. The reference, of course, should have been LSD, and that's why it was funny.
Get it?
The commentary to this is when the movie played in theaters in Utah in 1986, several people walked out of the movie theaters after this line was said. Really? I don't know the number of this happening, but it happened at several theaters. I think LDS members have lightened up since then because of films like Singles Ward. Thanks, Molly, Jenny, for this list. It was fun. Take credit.
Thank you. It was Lindsay who provided the list, but thank you. That was really cool. And I like fact-checking on pop culture stuff. That's cool.
It was fun, and I quite enjoyed it. As always, brilliant. Thanks, everyone, for an enjoyable show. Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Williams. All right, hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right, here we go. Actual articles of news. I've got a bunch, but a lot of them are just really short stories. So who wants to go first?
I don't know. We probably have some similar stories.
We probably do.
Yeah.
First Presidency expresses love and support for the French people. Saturday. Pardon me.
You getting choked up?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Thanks, apples. Saturday, November
4th. The fibrous texture of their skin. That's what it does.
Saturday, November 14th, the First Presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints issued the following statement regarding the attacks in Paris. With people around the world, we mourn today as we consider the horrific tragedies that have occurred in Paris. We pray for those affected, for their families and loved ones, for the leaders of nations, and most especially for the people of France as they struggle to recover from the violence and loss they are feeling so deeply. We have directed that flags on Temple Square be flown at half staff and that the French flag be flown here as an expression of our love and support for them. In these hours of uncertainty and despair, we ask members of the church everywhere to join with us in our prayer that the peace of the Savior, Jesus Christ, will provide comfort, healing, understanding, and hope. And also from... if you are following us on our Facebook page, you saw that we posted a link immediately as soon as it was released that all the missionaries in Paris are safe and have been accounted for.
Also, all the students that are serving abroad from BYU, I found out,
oh,
safe
okay,
and accounted
great.
For.
Great. Also from the 14th, from Saturday, this morning. Elder Patrick Kieran, president of the Europe area of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, issued the following statement. During these hours of sadness and pain, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Europe stand united with all people of decency and goodwill in expressing our deepest sympathy for the families and friends of the victims of last night's terrible attacks in Paris. Our thoughts and prayers reach out to hearts that have been hurt and minds in trouble and despair. So there's word from the Europe area.
I saw a thing on Facebook about the, and it's not just the LDS Church, but people saying, you know, pray for the people of, you know, involved in this. And a thing I follow or am friends with, should I even admit this on the Cultural Hall? I'm a fan of the Dead Kennedys. And they put a thing on that somebody has made kind of a meme about, don't send your prayers. This is what caused this. You know, don't pray for Paris. So, and to that, I want to say, shut up. Jella Biafra, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for you tonight.
So take that. Take my prayers.
Take that, yes.
You want to do a little 90 Day Fiancé now?
Sure.
Have you watched this show, Molly Jenny?
I haven't.
Oh, my gosh.
Should I?
You know what I hadn't noticed? Because I think when I watched the episode before, Alexandra is her name, right? The bride-to-be of a young Mormon guy. She is gorgeous. Not just cute.
I'd say she's cute.
I think she's cuter than cute.
Mm.
I don't want to objectify her, but...
I know, we just did.
Anyway, so talk about what's going on.
And I don't know if I saw... I saw last night, I watched these blocks of that on Sunday night as I'm getting things ready for Monday. it's a day I get ready for Monday. And then the polygamist one, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. What is it with Cody Brown?
It's not Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. That would be monogamous relationships for seven people.
Oh, okay. Well, there's another show
Sister
I watch
Wives.
After it. Sister Wives, yes. Yeah. Another Mormon show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, another Mormon
so
show.
So I just got caught up last week watching or 2 weeks ago watching the 90 Day Bride. I want to know, do you guys know if it's real somewhat? You know how these reality shows anymore are not at all real, but I have a feeling that this is.
It's based in reality.
This is kind of real.
Yeah.
I hope so. It looks like it.
So she's from Russia, right? Or no, she's from Prague.
No, Prague.
From Prague in the Czech Republic. She's here in the United States in Idaho.
How old is she? Is she 20?
Yeah, I want to say 20, 21 maybe.
Yeah.
He's a return missionary.
He converted her.
Yeah.
She used to be a party girl, go-go dancer.
And she's come to...
Stripper.
It was a go-go dancer.
All right.
She's come to live here in the United States. She's got 90 days to figure out if she's going to marry this guy or not. He brought her here and she has to live with... The grandma of this guy.
Because most of these 90-day people, they come and they live with the guy that they're engaged to.
Right.
But this one, they're aliyahs, they don't do that.
So, the big deal is scripture study. That was the big deal of this episode. Did you watch this one?
I did. That's the one I saw last night. Getting up early to have scripture study.
They get up at 10 to 6
family.
To study the scriptures before everyone goes about their day. So they all do it together. And the big deal was she needs to prove that she is in love with him.
Because mom and dad question.
Yeah.
If this is real. Or if she. Everybody question. All the families question, are they just doing it for their green card?
Right?
Suspicious.
Does she just pretend to be Mormon or is she really Mormon? Now, here's the thing I'll admit to. I didn't get to see the next thing. Did she come down to scripture study or did she not?
She did.
She did?
Yeah. And she was uncomfortable. She in the thing where they speak to them to the side, you know, she said, I'm very worried about his dad, what he thinks of me. And so I want to talk to him and just let him know my intentions and actually have some communication, he and I, so we can get a little closer together. So they did that. So the fiance and the return missionary sat down with mom and dad. You know, they sat on the bench to the piano. Uh-huh. It could not be more stereotypical. And the couch that they sat on, again, could not be more stereotypical, the whole setting. And she said, you know, I think you worry about my intention. And, you know, or I don't talk very good, she would say to them. And it all appears to be kind of a setup. But she said, you know, I just want to know that it is and that I, you know, my intent, I really love your son. And I really want to be here. And he said, well, I'm happy to hear that, and I'm impressed that you came down. You're the only member of the family that came down on your own that I didn't have to go drag out of bed.
See?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're going to start doing Cultural Hall Scripture Study in the middle of the Salt Lake Valley, and so I'll expect everyone to be there.
Well, we are all awake at that hour.
Yeah.
But not everyone else.
Can we do it
is.
Through Periscope?
Right. Yeah.
What are you reading? Periscope Scripture Study.
That wouldn't be a bad thing, I think.
And she read part of the scripture, and she was, you know, very coy and shy. I don't know you understand me good, and reads it, and it's just fine, and she's gorgeous.
Yeah, like it totally played up.
In her little pajamas, draped over her shoulders and exposing part of her shoulder.
All right, that's enough.
I did notice that you can see her garments, though. I thought that was interesting.
I didn't see that, no. Hmm.
Anyway. She's just
because she's used to wearing. I saw this in last week's episode. She used to wearing shirt that is more see through.
Stupid.
That is what she said.
Really?
Oh my
yes.
Gosh.
How you say?
Transparent. And he goes see through. Yeah. See through.
See through. Yes.
And all the family looks over. Huh?
I got this email from Robert Casey. I think he's a lifer. I don't think he's got the Pioneer stock, but he'll tell me. He'll let me know, I'm sure. High speed chase ending at an LDS church in Georgia. Authorities say officers captured two men and a juvenile girl after a high speed chase that ended with a shooting at a Georgia church. Multiple news outlets report that one man was shot and a stun gun was used on a girl at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on Saturday evening. More than 100 people gathered at the church for a program when the duo burst in and asked a church leader for dry clothes and food. So they're having some, like, you know, fireside or something like that, and somebody, I need dry clothes and food.
And they had them there.
What's that?
They had them there.
Yeah. Here, give me your clothes. No one else was harmed at the church. The Cowichan County Sheriff's Office says one of the men was caught shortly after the chase. The woman was taken to Piedmont Hospital. The condition of the man was unknown after being taken to an Atlanta area hospital. Names of suspects were not released. So thank you for that news story. This I thought was interesting. About 1,300 people Wednesday night had signed a petition asking Mormon Tabernacle Choir guest performers to cancel their upcoming appearances in protest of a new policy by the LDS Church to restrict membership for LGBT couples and their children. Quote, please show the LDS Church that you disapprove of this type of bullying of children and discrimination by canceling your guest performance next month with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for their Christmas performances, states the petition. That's posted this week on change.org by Salt Lake City resident Scott Fawcett and promoted by a group called LGBT Mormons and Allies. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints declined to comment on the petition or whether anyone in its lineup of holiday performers has canceled. So it's interesting that that's out there. Just worth noting. Someone passed it to me and said, will you sign it?
And you said...
did you?
I said, here's a story about scouts in Utah. One of the largest Boy Scout councils in the country is laying off employees because donations are down. Possibly a side effect of tension between the Scouts and the Mormon Church over this summer's decision to allow gay Scout leaders. The fall fundraising drive for the Utah National Parks Council, that's Orem, Provo, that area of Utah, shows a substantial drop in donations. This is a painful day for us all, said Stan Lockhart, the council president. These are people we know and love who have dedicated their careers to helping Boy Scouts, and it just hurts. The council serves about 90,000 Scouts south of Salt Lake County and has about 70 employees. Lockhart said that the end of the year Friends of Scouting fundraising drive provides most of the money for council's volunteer support, record keeping, and summer camps. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the nation's largest sponsor of Boy Scout units. It sponsors nearly 38,000 Scout units with 427,000 boys, accounting for about 18% of all youth Scouts. The church said it was deeply troubled with the July decision to rescind a national ban on gay Scout leaders and considering ending its association with the organization. But in August, Mormon leaders announced they were staying with the Scouts after getting assurances that they can appoint troop leaders for the church-sponsored units. The church, as it continues, has reiterated its support for scouting 100%, said Lockhart, the widower of former Utah House Speaker Becky Lockhart and former chairman of the state's Republican Party. I think people may be kind of mad at the Boy Scouts, but there's a big difference between the National Council and the three local councils here in the state of Utah. Here was something that I thought was interesting. I got my Temple Recommend interviewed yesterday, right? Because I wanted to have my Temple Recommend.
With your bishop or your stake?
Had it at the ward level and then also had it at the stake level. One day.
Oh, wow.
One
get
stop
it done.
Shop. Get it done. Truth be told, I had the ward level like 6 months ago and then I lost the paper.
Oh.
But then yesterday in priesthood, they were talking about how they get emails or a list every week about people who had a recommend within the last little while and haven't renewed it. And, you know, I don't like being a list or a burden to people. So 5% of the reason why I got my recommend is so that I didn't have to be a thought or a burden to anybody. The 95% is completely selfish and I need help. So I'm talking to one of the guys who's interviewing me. And he's the question about, do you affiliate, agree with, so on and so forth, any groups that have differing point of views than Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? And you know, I think it's sort of an interesting question because it's like, yeah, every day and members of my family, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, yes, I do. I don't necessarily agree or not or whatever.
And you know what they mean.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, yeah. If I wanted to take it very literal, it's like, yeah, I associate with them. Yes, I affiliate with them. And yes, I agree with some of what some people say, but I understand what it's getting at. But I thought it was interesting because this particular leader who was interviewing me said, you know, kind of like the Boy Scouts. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I mean, right? They have a different point of view than the church does, at least as far as that goes.
Yeah. I'm going to use that for my next temple recommended interview. The last one I had when they said that, I said, no, but I love the gays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, said, I thought that was kind of an interesting point of view, and especially coming from the person doing the interview as opposed to the person, you know, answering the questions. What else do you have?
Right. Who, me?
Anybody.
I've got referencing 80s movies as we did earlier and missionaries as we did earlier.
Okay.
Let's combine the two.
Yes.
The title of the story, Back to the Future.
Okay.
That's Richie's favorite.
I know. New Mormon missionaries to spend more time at the MPC. Yes. So Mormon missionaries who do not need to learn a new language for the country in which they will be serving can count on spending a bit more time anyway in the MTC Training Center. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced Friday that starting in March, missionaries assigned to teach in their native tongues will undergo 3 weeks of instruction at the MTC instead of the current two. That's how long those stints were before October 2012 when the Utah-based faith lowered the minimum missionary ages, triggering a wave of new applicants and a need to make space in the MTCs for the influx of young women and men. For missionaries speaking their native language, this cut their time at the MTC from 3 weeks to two. Those learning new languages stay longer. This was simply an issue of capacity, said Brent Nielsen, an LDS General Authority and Executive Director of the Faith's Missionary Department, said in a news release. 3 weeks is the optimal amount of time for these elders and sisters to spend in an MTC setting. It gives them an opportunity how to be effective and successful missionary.
It's long.
Is it a long three weeks?
Yeah.
That's how long you were there.
Uh-huh. Because I spoke the English and went to the Cleveland.
Is 2 weeks enough? I would have thought that 3 weeks would probably be better, but maybe.
I mean, it was good, but that day that we were to be done, I was ready to be done. Because there are only so many times that you can pretend that the person that you're talking to has the concerns that they're talking to you about. And there's only so many Hostess products that you can cram down your face. And so many bowls of... Seriously. So many bowls of this and sleeping six-pack in a room with somebody that snores. And it's just...
Well, good thing you didn't have to learn a foreign language.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, well, no. Because there are people who gain immense amounts of weight at the MTC because of the availability for food and the fact that their active lifestyles quickly become not as active because you're in classes for 12 hours a day. They give you time.
Right, I was going to say you have time set aside to exercise. But for
a lot of people, their lifestyle was the active thing. They didn't have to be conscious about what they were eating.
So the change is being sedentary for the sake of learning instead of out.
Yeah, instead of outdoing what they normally would probably do, and you don't burn as many calories, obviously, in an hour if you were normally playing basketball and riding a bike and running or whatever those things are. And they don't really teach you about it, at least when I went. I think that they've changed that quite a bit. I think that some of the lessons about mission prep are, let's talk about calories.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how, you know, it's math. You can't eat more than this and not gain this. So, it was one of those things. I just was done. Get me out. And it was. It was great. Got out to Cleveland, where I needed to be, where people had real concerns.
Like?
I remember the first door that we knocked on. It was a guy named Skip. And his wife, I can't remember what his wife's name was, but literally the first door they knocked on, he allowed us in and we started teaching him that day, right? Mm-hmm. So you go,
wow,
man, that's crazy. The first door,
yeah,
it was like literally the first bit of missionary work that I ever did.
Wow. And you're like, this is a cinch.
Yeah, right? So we get done teaching that person, and then the next door, the very next door, right next door to Skip, is anyone who's denied my brothers and sisters the priesthood
Mm-hmm. You know, and you think God and or if you think Jesus and Satan are brothers, and it was literally like just spewing vitriol and hatred and things that I had no idea. No idea. Wow. And I was just like, well, that's a different door. And then the rest of the street, nobody was home. But
you're like, I'm not taking door number
Let's go back
two.
To the first one.
Yeah, but it was just insane. Night and day, the receptiveness of one to the other. The first folks, because everyone always wants to know the end of the story, they never got baptized as far as I know, but we taught them for probably, I served in the same area twice. We taught them for 4 months the first time, and then when I came back, taught them for an additional couple months. And they were great because they were ones who, in a very odd way, taught me the importance of Christmas being Jesus' birthday. Not, obviously, we know not born that day, whatever, but making it a celebration for Jesus as opposed to a Christmas tree and a bunch of other stuff. They had us over Christmas morning, and they had a birthday cake for Jesus, and we wore party hats.
Aww.
And we did the blowers and streamers and all that stuff. And it was a birthday party for Jesus. And I know that it sounds irreverent, and I know why, because you're looking at me going, that seems weird. That seems weird to have a birthday party like that for Jesus. But it made him to me a person in a way that I hadn't thought about. It's like, yeah, Jesus has got a birthday, and we celebrated it at Christmas, and it changed my entire perspective of the day, the holiday, and the celebration.
You did this on Christmas Day or in April?
On Christmas Day.
Okay.
Right, because there's the whole, I mean.
Right, well, because I know some people do that in April, too.
Sure.
I've
they put up they put up a pine tree in April?
Uh-huh. Weird, right?
They keep waiting for Santa, and it's like, what?
Lame sauce. I've also heard of people doing that for Joseph Smith's birthday on December 23rd.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Uh-huh. I have not. I have not heard about any of this Christmas cake stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly like that.
You like cake?
For the reason that you said that it makes it more like a person's celebrating
birthday.
His birthday. Yeah.
We haven't done that, but we have done like what are you giving Jesus for his birthday? Kind of like write it down and put it in a little like box ornament, you know, it's kind of like your goal. Uh-huh. What you're gonna do,
and then crush it when you do it,
and then set it on fire.
That's not true.
And then we open it the next year and see.
Oh, cool. You wait a whole year and see if you did it.
If we can
or
find
hope
it.
That you did it. Yeah. And hope that you can find.
Hope
anybody
that
know where
it
our box of hopes and dreams are?
Hope that it.
Oh,
I threw that
Other
away.
Lost?
Yeah, we got, figures.
Oh, Dad got those in the divorce.
Yeah, I didn't get custody of that. Shoot.
No, he took the hopes and dreams.
He's got them for Christmas this year, so we'll see how that goes.
This is kind of cool, and just real quick. There's a BYU memes Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
And they had an interesting thing on there. Talks about three moments in The Legend of Zelda. This is the latest Legends of Zelda that make reference to Mormon things. Now, maybe not. Like, it might just be us kind of placing us into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But there are places called Chateau Moroni. Okay, so now maybe that's...
What?
One of the places...
Is that for real?
Uh-huh. And then other places that you can go are the Sacred Grove, and it's a grove of trees, and Temple Square. So now whether or not it's some Mormon person in there, just because it's not like a big crux of the game, big focus of the game, but you can go to a place called Temple Square. You can go to a place called the Sacred Grove, and you can go to a place called Chateau Moroni. But if it is or if it isn't, it's cool. See? BuzzFeed, you guys have heard about that, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did a little feature on their faith about Ryan Radden. Maybe you don't know who Ryan Radden is.
I do.
He's best known as being DJ Cascade.
Boom.
The article is called True Believer, and you can find a link to it at theculturalhall.com. He's 44 years old, raised in an LDS home in Northbrook, served his mission in Japan, and he specifically addresses the seemingly contradictory nature of his career as one of the world's highest paid DJs and his life as a member of the church. Quote, I love this. Early on in my career, people would show up with a limousine and bags of drugs and hookers and be like, Come on, man, let's party. Cascade's the best. Let's freaking rock.
Bags of drugs and hookers? Is that what you said?
That's poor writing, but yeah. It says, yeah, bags of drugs.
Okay.
And hookers.
Comma, and hookers.
Yeah, no comma, but should have been.
Or hookers and bags of drugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big bag.
Nerd alert.
There was pressure to kind of participate, Radden is quoted in the article as saying, and the perceived pressure was like, you could be more successful if you partied with these people or whatever. I just said, sorry, I don't do any of that. Save it for the guy performing tomorrow night. So he talks about how he's able to keep his faith in the midst of bags of drugs and hookers.
Speaking of BuzzFeed.
Speaking of bags and drugs and hookers.
Yep. See, for real, speaking of bags of drugs and hookers.
Oh, no.
No. It was brought to my attention that there is an Instagram account called BYU PDA.
Okay.
Which is...
Tell me it's just pictures of people.
It's just PDA pictures of people with public displays of affection. It's hysterical. There are over 3,500 followers.
Oh, my gosh.
Excuse me. It's really funny. It's so on Instagram, go to BYU PDA.
It's just at BYU PDA?
On Instagram, yeah.
You know what I love about this is that it's probably someone who's really bitter.
Well, I think it's you submit it. Like, you take pictures of what you see and then submit. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. And so, I mean, like the most current one is a picture of these two guys in sacrament meeting, it looks like, or priesthood or something. And they're just, like, they're both asleep and one of them's got his arm around the other one.
Aww.
This is not good radio for me to just describe pictures, but
well, make sure we get it to Anna.
Okay, I will. Oh, they're just so funny.
So they're very innocent pictures.
Was that one?
And
well, that's just a bad angle of what the camera is taking, is what it is,
or what they're doing. Hey,
you know, yes. In the future, let's maybe not talk a whole lot about something so visual.
About pictures, yeah.
It's just so funny.
This, I think, is worth a mention only because it happened, but it has since been changed. There was a judge, Mormon judge, down in Price.
All right.
There were, it was a lesbian couple. The judge removed the foster child from the lesbian couple because he said, you know what? It's better that that could be in a heterosexual home.
Than someone with same-sex attraction.
Yeah, than someone...
Being politically correct.
I think they're...
What's that?
I think they're married. So I think they're homosexuals.
Well, they have the same sex attraction,
yeah.
Though.
Or homosexuals, depending on how you want to define them. So it has since been rescinded, and the child is now back with that couple. So that was the Mormon judge there. What else do you have?
I've got one about inmates.
Okay.
Prisoners.
Yes.
Are you ready for this? Inmates benefit from doing family history work. Inmates are developing basic skills by connecting the past with the present through indexing. A Family Search's most recent video highlights some of the ways that indexing benefits inmates at the Kiesel facility in Weber County and the Summit County Jail. It's not church-based. It's not religion-based, said Sandy Evans. It's a clinical. She's a clinical therapist who works with the inmates. What it is it's about helping other individuals find their ancestors. So they don't have to be LDS. It's not, you know, for particularly LDS, but it's through... through the Family Search site to help people do that.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So kind of teaching the skills through that. And there's a video, and I was just trying to send the link to Richie for my stories. According to the video, some of the inmates were hesitant to participate at first, but many discovered that they enjoyed indexing. And one inmate says, yes, it gives me a certain sense of self-worth and mastery. One inmate said in the video, Family Search is the world's largest genealogy organization and focuses on helping users find their ancestors. So inmates are going to find your grandma and grandpa.
It's a pretty fascinating thing, and it's a lot of work. But if you
yeah.
Have you ever done it? Have you ever indexed before?
A little
Be
bit.
Be honest.
A little bit I have.
Yeah, have
I
you?
Have just a little too, yeah.
It's kind of fun. Like I when I did just the names indexing, right, where you just look at the records and then type the name in what you think it says. I thought it was cool because like I tried to get faster and faster about it. But the addicting thing for me was, like, they give you, you know, like, packets of information, right? So it's, like, 200 names. And then, like, I get started into it, and then it's like, well, I can't stop. You know what I'm saying? Even though I maybe don't have the time to do 200 indexing records,
mm-hmm.
It's hard for me once I've started into something to not finish it. So I was like, let me find some smaller ones because you can pick how many you're doing. So I had to go through and find the kind of the smaller records of it. But it is. It's weird. That's a weird OCD thing with me. Like once I've started into something that's numbered, I have to finish it. Weird.
Wow.
No?
No, you
fascinated by that?
Good for you.
What else you got? Anything else?
Elder and Sister Bednar visited Liberia. The article says, missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are returning to Liberia after no reported new cases of Ebola in that country since June. Elder Bednar of the Quorum of the Twelve and his wife Susan recently traveled to the West African nation to show the country is safe for missionaries.
Let's do it, he said.
The World Health Organization declared Liberia Ebola-free, explained Elder Bednar. We want people to know that we're here. We would not be calling young men and young women to serve in Liberia if there was great danger or concern. Mormon missionaries serving in Liberia and Sierra Leone were transferred out of those countries and reassigned to other missions by the church as a precaution in August of 2014. Following an outbreak of the Ebola virus. The first cases were reported in Liberia in March 2014. The World Health Organization declared Liberia free of Ebola September 3rd, and the young full-time missionaries began returning in early September. There are currently 53 young Mormon missionaries and 4 seniors serving in Liberia. About half of them are from Africa, and half of them are from outside the continent. Bednar says, I think naturally mothers have concerns when their sons serve missions and their daughters wherever they go in the world. So for us to be here is an important statement to let people know that this is a great place, that there's wonderful work to be done here, and that a missionary can be happy and healthy and successful here. For my day job, I write a lot about this sort of thing, about global health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ebola was such a huge scare for really very, very little reason here. So I think it's important and great that the Bednars went over there too. Assuage any concerns.
Did you hear about the Bednars when they went to the hospital over there?
No.
So they went into the hospital and, you know, because they wanted to prove that there's nothing to be worried about.
Okay.
And so they're visiting a bunch of people that are staying in the hospital, and there were some people from France. Mm. And so he goes in to visit them, and they apparently had just kind of some, like, bruises or were hurt a little bit, and he's asking him, he's like, are you guys okay? And they're like, oh, we're just a little tender mercy. Mercy, because, you know, there's a lot of work for that joke. I was that hoping for a better punchline.
I was waiting for a punchline, but I thought this is going way too far to be a joke.
Tender mercy.
This is
wow.
And that'll do it. That's
way
that
too
was
long.
Fascinating. Another news, brothers and sisters, aloha.
Too soon.
Je suis Paris.
Attendez, right? Merci.
Too
no.
soon.
No, because
no.
there were French people in
no.
there.
No. Nope.
Oh, uh-uh.
Nope. In Africa, I wasn't making a joke about France.
I know.
I wasn't making a France
no.
joke.
It's okay.
It's because okay. of merci.
It's okay.
That's the
no.
All right,
okay, so
we'll wrap it up with the I've got it. What?
Hawaii, BYU Hawaii.
Oh yeah,
brothers and sisters aloha. John S. Tanner was installed as the 10th president of Brigham Young University Hawaii during the inauguration ceremonies held Tuesday, November 10th. BYU Hawaii is one of 4 universities owned by the church. What are the other ones?
Well, there's 4. You got the BYU Provo.
Mm-hmm.
You got the BYU Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the one over in Virginia, not the one in Virginia. What am I missing?
Do you go to school?
Oh, at the LDS Business College.
Right.
Yeah. It's right in the name.
See, is what I'm saying. in 1955, President David O. McKay stood in an isolated field that would eventually become part of the grounds of the university and declared, from this school, I'll tell you, will go men and women whose influence will be felt for good towards the establishment of peace internationally. President Tanner, his sister, or his wife, is Susan Tanner. You know who that is?
Mm-mm.
She was the young woman general president.
Oh, that sounds right.
So, President Tanner's husband is now President Tanner. Boom.
Boom. I'm going to leave you with an interview that I did with a guy by the name of Brandon Robertson. We didn't really talk about this today because in the interview, we talk about it with him. There was a mass resignation event that happened in downtown Salt Lake over the weekend. People decided that wanted to take their names off the records to all do it together. And there was a mass resignation event. As part of that event, Brandon Robertson, who you'll hear in this interview coming up, stood across the street as a 20-year-old gay man from Orem, Utah, and said, "Hey, please don't go." So you'll hear that interview with him. All right, and on the phone with me right now, I've got Brandon Robertson, talking about all the people that resigned from the church over the weekend. And you were down there as well, Brandon, right?
Yeah, I was trying to get him to not leave.
Now, how, because in my mind as I see it, they were at City Creek Park, so you're across the street. How were you doing that?
Well, I got there an hour before the thing was supposed to start, and I was actually planning on being on the same side of the street as them, but a little bit after I got there, one of those really friendly anti-Mormon types, you know, walked up to me with his sign, and we got talking, and it was wasn't a particularly pleasant conversation, so I had to cross over to the other side of the street before I did something that would put me in jail.
Did you get pretty fired up?
Internally I did, but I was trying not to, you know, be a bad example.
Sure.
I didn't want to egg him on.
Sure, and in a lot of ways, it seems like that's what those guys are there to do, really. I don't know that they really think that they're going to change your mind, but...
Yeah, they're just there to drill you, I guess.
Yeah. So give people an idea of who you are, Brandon.
I'm Brandon. I'm a gay member of the LDS Church, and I've been kind of inactive for the past couple years, but in, you know, over the past few months, like ever since this summer, really, I've been kind of drawn back to the church by my family and by a few of my friends who've gone on missions, and, you know, seeing how much comfort and safety they find in the church kind of made me want to, you know, start becoming more active, and I have, and it's been really rewarding, and I feel like I'm in a better spot now than I've been in a long time because, you know, I've got faith as my, you know, rock and as my guidance, you know?
Go ahead.
I thought that when the media started announcing this, you know, change to the, you know, Bishop's Handbook or whatever, it felt like a really unique problem to me because I didn't really have an issue with what they wrote per se, but at the same time, it was personal to me because I am gay, and for a really large part of my life, I thought that I would marry a man and raise a family with him, but, you know, seeing as now the church's position is, you know, if you do that, then you're making yourself an apostate, then it really made me reconsider what it means to have a family and to raise them in the church, and it really reorganized my priorities in a way, but I don't really feel conflicted over it, per se, because when I read the change, I felt the same way then as I do now, and it's that it's difficult and it's hard for some people more than others, but it's coming from a place that's like looking out for members everywhere, and fortunately it's a minority of members that are gay and that have, you know, families, but it's kind of sad to see that it's putting so much stress and pressure on these families.
So let me ask you this, though. It's a pretty tall order to go down where you know, whether or not you know that there's going to be over 1,000 people, as the news has reported, you know that there's going to be a lot of people who don't feel the same way that you do. What compelled you to go down and do that?
Well, I just felt a little worried for these people because, you know, we're all members of the same faith, and it was shocking to me and kind of an eye-opener to see that, you know, it was easier for some than others to leave. Like, being there and talking with them, I could kind of tell that some were already looking for a reason to leave the church, and some, you know, kind of made the decision to leave with a heavy heart, and I don't know, it was just, it was shocking and it was sad, but it was kind of believable at the same time because people really really don't want to change, you know, big aspects of their life, such as marriage, for things that the church says. And it's hard, but, you know, as faithful members, I think it's important that we uphold what the guys, the old guys in Salt Lake say, you know, because we believe that they are, we believe that they are inspired men.
How are you dealing with everything?
I'm dealing pretty well personally. It was sad to see members leave, but I've got a lot of support from, you know, the outside and from members who aren't leaving. And that's made me feel really good and safe about what I did.
As far as
the handbook update, it didn't really change anything for me, because, you know, when it came out, I wasn't planning on getting married to a guy anytime soon. I wasn't really thinking, not really thinking about marriage right now or family life, because I'm hoping to go on a mission. And so I'm trying to focus on that more than, and, you know, developing my faith and learning more about the church, and trying to focus more on that than about controversial stuff that's going on. That being said, I did feel like it was important to go to Salt Lake the other day and try to bring members of my faith back into it.
Were you able to connect with anyone, do you think?
There were a couple that I talked to that I feel like there was a connection, but I don't think I changed anyone's mind that day.
And who knows what your example, I mean, you talk about in respect to mission and mission service, you know, who knows the seeds that may have been planted and may be reaped later. Yeah. And
I hope that over the long term, those people that were there the other day will think more about it and hopefully feel a desire to come back. And I think that by being there, I might have, you know, amplified that feeling for them a little bit, but time will tell more than anything.
When
some of them really, really wanted to leave anyway.
So yeah. Yeah. When you talk about serving a mission, when is that hopefully happening?
Hopefully, I'd like to be gone maybe this time next year, maybe a little bit later. But it's definitely going to be a process, because I didn't think that I was going to serve a mission for the first 19 years of my life. Mm-hmm. I just grew up thinking, ah, that's not for me. I don't think I'll ever want to go. But I've had a lot of friends that have been coming back from missions recently, and it's, you know, their stories about it and how much they loved it really inspired me to want to go and serve in the church more.
Awesome.
And so that's kind of been, it's a relatively new thing for me, and there are roadblocks for gay members, and especially members that have done certain things, but we'll see. And I'm just hoping and praying that they'll let me go, because it's starting to become really important focus for me.
You'll keep in touch with us and let us know what's going on, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
We ask people that visit here in the Cultural Hall a series of questions. I'm just going to ask you one of them, and that is, what is your favorite part of your faith?
My favorite part is that I have a Savior who I can always draw on for strength. He doesn't care if you're gay or straight, or if you're, you know, a leper, if you're transgender, or anything like that. He loves us for who we are, and he wants us to be like him one day. And he's such an example, and he's just such a great guy. I love Jesus, and I'm glad that he's the focal point of our church, because it's easy for things to get complicated sometimes with faith, and especially with this controversy that's happening right now. But if we focus on him and his teachings, then it can really simplify things for us.
I love it. Thank you for taking a few minutes, Brandon.
Thanks for having me.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted, you'll be well and you can listen next week.
Thanks for the moisture.
We hope that when the time comes, you'll be able to, did I already say that?
You'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.